Welcome to Really Old Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin, and today with my co-host, we'll be discussing our top five Westerns movies. So without further ado, let me bring on our co-hosts. It's got Hunter and Joe. How's it going, guys?
It's going. Hi. It's going great.
I haven't seen you since last year.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
Yes. So today we're going to be talking about our top five favorite Westerns. And before we get into that, just want to make some announcements. So starting next month, these streams will now be at 7 p.m. instead of 4 p.m. because I got to do more stuff during the day. And I think it'd be nicer to be a little bit later in the day. And then also, these will now be 5 instead of 10 because I think we could get more in-depth, kind of narrow it down a little bit more with 5. So, yeah. Got anything new going on with you guys, movie-wise or anything like that?
Nothing in particular, but The Last of Us is very good, right? Mm-hmm. As mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, I haven't seen it yet. Might watch it. I don't know yet. I'm waiting a little bit.
You should definitely see it.
At least the first 30 minutes, but you got to watch all the way to the end.
Okay. Sweet. All right, well, we'll just jump right into it, and I'll be starting us off today with my number 5. So the first one is Once Upon a Time in the West. Now, I think you've seen this, right, Hunter?
I didn't finish it, so...
You didn't finish it?
Not on my list just because of that.
Okay, and what about you, Joe? Have you seen this one?
I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, I really, really like this one. I really recommend it. It's a... Sergio Leone film, you know, he did the Dollars trilogy, this movie, a couple other ones, but I really like this one because I really like Charles Bronson. I think he's really awesome as Harmonica, very stoic, you know, very quiet and serious. Really like that. But what's also cool is seeing Henry Fonda as a villain, because usually he's like a good guy and not in Western. So it was really interesting seeing him doing something different from his normal roles. And I really liked it. Really recommend it if you haven't seen it yet.
One of my all-time favorite things about this movie is the opening.
Yes.
Like the coolest, like, I don't know. It's just like, it's literally just a train coming into a station.
Uh-huh.
And it's like super drawn out, but it's so good. It's just like the coolest way to introduce this movie.
Yeah. I really like when he says, "You brought two horses too many." You know, and then he gets into a shootout with those guys. It's so awesome. Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. I think it's on Netflix, so.
Oh. I checked. It's not anymore.
It's not? Oh.
It was when I was watching it 2 years ago, but.
Pull it off. All right. So we'll move on to Joe's number 5.
Okay. Let me just make this statement perfectly clear. I have not seen that many Westerns, so I don't feel like I am qualified enough to talk about Westerns, but like I'm just happy to be here, to be honest. But besides that, yeah, Back to the Future 3. I actually am on the this movie's actually good team. I know that some people don't really like it.
Yeah, and I don't understand that at all.
Yeah. But I personally really enjoy Back to the Future 3. I think it has a new sort of dynamic for Doc with him sort of finding a new life in the Old West. I also think that it isn't as appreciated for its humor, I think, like this particular, because it sort of all the timelines where Doc and Marty need to go to a certain time in history. I feel like with the third one, with them going to sort of the beginning of the sort of central town, I feel like there's a lot of really great callbacks to other characters and I personally still really enjoy Back to the Future 3. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely in the camp too of this being a really good one. I like it a lot more than the second one.
Hmm. Yeah. I can agree with that, I think.
Yeah. And what I love about this one is they really do play into the Western tropes. Like a lot of the side characters, background characters, they're all old Western actors. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there's just something about them, like riding it on top of the DeLorean with horses pulling it like a stagecoach. I love that scene. I think that's so cool. And they're actually in Monument Valley. Like they really, really captured the atmosphere of Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
But also on top of that, right, you know, they have Marty needs to get back to the future, his present day, right? And yeah, just a fun twist on Westerns. I really like it too.
Amen.
Amen. Anything you want to add, Hunter?
It's a good movie. It's
been a long time before, but it's a good movie.
All right. We got the Rogue Critic in here today, putting his list. Thank you so much. So his top five Westerns, Treasure of Sierra Madre. Ooh, I need to see that one with Humphrey Bogart. Stagecoach, classic. Fistful of Dollars, nice. Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, nice. Number one, The Searchers. So a John Ford fan, I see. I still need to see a lot of those, so great list there. All right, we'll move on to Hunter's number five. Speaking of Fistful of Dollars.
Yeah. Admittedly, I haven't seen a ton of Westerns. But looking into Fistful of Dollars a little bit, I didn't realize this. As a Western film, it kind of is what created the spaghetti Western genre, which are like Westerns that were made in Europe, but like took all the greatest tropes that we liked about American filmed Westerns and did them cheaper. But I also didn't even realize this. It's kind of who made Clint Eastwood Clint Eastwood. It was like one of his big, his first main lead role or something like that. And so in that sense, it's like a pretty like historic Western. Mm-hmm. I think he's like pretty iconic. Everyone recognizes the padded figure with that specific poncho on. So like, I don't know. In that sense, it's pretty cool. It's also just a great movie. I loved it. I had no idea either, but the story for the movie is like taken from a Japanese Ronin film. It's like the exact, it's like copied and pasted.
Yeah, Yojimbo. And I can't remember if that one was first or if Fistful of Dollars was first, but I remember something about that where they ran into issues where they carbon copied the same story, like one of them did.
I'm pretty sure Yojimbo was first. And then, but anyway, I don't know. That's what I heard. That's what I read. But yeah. At any rate, it's like, I feel like this was like one of the first Westerns I saw from this era as well. I feel like it's pretty approachable even from like a modern standpoint. The other two, like, what did you call it? Dollar Trilogy? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, the Dollars Trilogy.
Okay. Well, the other two, in my opinion, they're fine, but they're longer. So like the second one was good, but the third one is like way long. It's too long.
Yeah, it's 3 hours long. Good, Bad, the Ugly.
Uh-huh. So I feel like this was a good, like, even if you're not into Westerns, I feel like you could sit and enjoy this movie. And it's beautiful, too. It's kind of like Once Upon a Time in the West. They have some great, great imagery. So anyways, that's my take.
Yeah. I really like the music in this one, too. I actually like it more than the Good, Bad, the Ugly songs.
Mm. Yeah. Joe, have you seen it?
I haven't really seen any of like the classic Westerns except for Stagecoach, and I honestly don't really like that movie too much. So
I've never seen Stagecoach. I don't know what it is.
It's a John Ford film and one of John Wayne's first movies. Well, first big movies. All right. So we got the Rogue Critic. Okay, so Yojimbo was first. Kurosawa sued Leone for copying it. Yeah, I think I remember reading that somewhere too. That they didn't even bother changing the script. Because if you watch this movie and Yojimbo back to back, it's the exact same film. like a loner guy, goes to a town and kind of plays both sides of the divided town just for making money. It's pretty funny. Yeah. All right. So we'll move on to our number fours. So speaking of Stagecoach, I'm in the camp of, I really like this movie, and there's a couple reasons why. Yes, I understand it's kind of long and kind of drawn out, and I definitely think it could be long in some parts, but there's something about like John Wayne's character, especially at the end, that I really, really liked. You know, he's with the group, you know, trying to help him out and all that, but the very end with them, you know, being chased by all the Indians on horses and like they're in the stagecoach, you know, the crazy stunt work they did, like the guy actually went underneath the stagecoach while it was riding over him. Absolutely crazy. Just that to me is probably the most magical moment of the movie. And, you know, Spielberg was a fan of it. He brought that stunt into Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, with Indy going underneath the semi truck. I don't know. There's something about that moment that really stands out to me. But I do need to see more John Ford films. I'll admit this is the only one I've seen by him. And I hear his other ones are really good too. All right. But Joe, you don't like it. So elaborate on that a little bit.
I mean, like, it wasn't like, even though like it actually like isn't really that long, like, hold on, Stagecoach run time. Yeah, it's like an hour and 36 minutes. So like, and it was like airing on TV. So I thought, okay, because I was staying at a hotel for a day and I was like, okay, that's a classic that I still haven't seen. Might as well knock that one out. And I just sort of felt numb throughout the entire experience. I didn't really feel much of anything. So like, I'm just kind of like indifferent to it, you know? Mm. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. I could see that because it doesn't really pick up until near the end of the movie. And even that's a very short scene too. But it's a classic. Yeah, but you should check it out too, Hunter, just to get your opinion on it as well.
I added it to my watch list, so.
Yeah. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere because I saw this in class at one of my film classes. I don't know.
I mean, I love the poster. The poster looks
cool. That's a pretty sweet poster.
Yeah, I do really like that too.
Yeah, but I wish I loved it. I wish I loved the movie.
Mm-hmm. And I might be a little biased because it takes place in a town. They're trying to go to Lordsburg, which I served there on my mission there. So I have a little soft spot for that. So, maybe, so I guess it's a little sentimental in that way, but no, I could see why it's not the easiest one to get into. I don't think I would recommend it as a first Western to watch. I'd say something like the Dollars Trilogy and then getting into this. But yeah. All right. Moving on to Joe's number four.
Moving from, yeah. So I think this is like one of DreamWorks's more underrated films. And it's a very simple story of just a horse being separated from its pack and just trying to find his way home. And I think, and you know, I think that it's also maybe one of DreamWorks' more mature films because most of the runtime, the horses don't, well, yeah, pretty much they don't like talk or anything except for like a couple of voiceovers from Matt Damon, which can get really annoying. So like, especially when Matt Damon is obviously is saying something that could be obviously inferred from just watching the horse express. And so you're just constantly okay, shut up, Matt Damon. We get it. But that's only a couple of scenes. I think it would be great if it got more attention in regards to, I guess, sort of the scope of DreamWorks's films. And yeah, definitely a good one to look back on.
I don't think I've actually ever seen Spirit.
I don't think I've either.
Which is surprising because, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of my friends talk about this as, like, a childhood movie, but.
Yeah, it was a childhood movie for me, but, like, it's still really good when you watch it again, I think.
I hear the soundtrack's really good, too.
Yeah, the score by Hans Zimmer is very good. But it's Hans Zimmer, so, like, of course, you're gonna, you can't really go wrong when you have him on board.
Oh, yeah. Score for one of my movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did he? I don't remember what your movies are. All right, we'll move on to Hunters number 4.
Yeah. Quigley Down Under. Have either of you seen this movie? Harrison's seen it for sure.
I have not, actually.
We own this movie.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Joe, have you seen this?
I haven't.
Okay. Well, one, I've never seen this poster before. It's pretty cool. I like it. It's got Tom Selleck, who is incredible. It's Tom Selleck. Yes. The man, the myth, the legend. And it also has Alan Rickman? Yeah, Alan Rickman as like the villain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like, so if you didn't guess from the title, Quigley, a good old American cowboy, goes to Australia, I'm pretty sure. And yeah, it's a Western. He fights bad guys. Alan Rickman is like an Australian bad guy. Okay, he's also a crack shot. He's like got this like old rifle with like a weird sight he has to dial in, and he's like the best shot of the West, but he's in Australia, and it's really good, and I like it a lot. There are some weird moments. There's like this weird scene where like the girl like finds like a native baby and starts like, or like something intense and weird happens. I need to rewatch it. It's been a lot of years since I've seen it, I must admit. And I do remember always kind of being like, what is going on when I saw that? But maybe in context, it makes a little more sense. It was great. It's a good movie. I don't know. I don't have anything spectacular to say about it. I'm realizing, I see here it says the Emmy Award-winning director of Lonesome Dove puts the classic Western back where it was meant to be, on the big screen. I love Lonesome Dove. If it was a movie, I would have put that on my list. But it's a miniseries, and I didn't think it would count. So I didn't put it. Mm-hmm. But if you know anything about Lonesome Dove, that should tell you how good this movie is. Because I feel like it's really good.
Nice. Isn't the love interest, isn't she an author too or something like that?
Yeah, something like, I don't remember.
Like a romance author, something like that. Maybe I have seen it.
I feel like you've seen this. You have to have seen this.
Oh, we got JT Late Night with Cap. Hello. Thank you so much for stopping by. Yeah, I've been on a couple of his, well, I've watched a couple of his streams. He's a really cool guy. You guys should check him out. So thanks for stopping by. All right. So we'll move on to my number 3, True Grit. Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember or not. This one showed up on my, I think it was 2010's list.
Yeah.
So I don't have much more to add from that, but basically I just love Jeff Bridges, Matt Damon, even Josh Brolin, all great actors and great characters. Especially Jeff Bridges as Rooster Cogburn. I think he's amazing in that role. And he kind of had a little resurgence there in the 2010s, like with this movie, Tron Legacy, like he was in some really good movies at that time. But Hailee Steinfeld, too, she's really good kid actor in this movie. And she carried a lot of the story, too. But yeah, those are my thoughts on it. I really liked this one.
Mm-hmm. I like Matt Damon. I had no idea that was Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
I'm like, I was today years old. I had no idea. It's funny.
I didn't know that was Thanos. Have you seen this one, Joe? I can't remember if you did or
no,
not.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen either of the True Grit films.
Oh, okay.
It's a good movie.
Yes. Got a comment from JT. Great movie, but the really old movie one was better. LOL. I think John Wayne is better for sure in that one. But I think the girl in that movie is a little bit more annoying. I didn't like her as much as Hailee Steinfeld.
Agreed.
Oh, look at that. Rogue Critic. Haven't seen the 2010, but I can't stand the 1969 one. Dang, shots fired.
I know.
All right.
Single chamber shots fired.
Yeah, exactly. No, he cut my thumb off. Or no, was it a finger someone got cut off in this movie?
Yeah, a bunch of fingers.
No, oh, that scene always gets me. Ugh. All right. So we'll move on to Joe's number three.
Okay, so I saw this one very recently, and I really enjoyed it a lot. I think with a lot of movies that I really like there's almost like I almost enjoy those sort of like simplistic stories with, you know, that sort of emotional draw to really get you in. And I feel like Old Yeller is really good at doing that. I think it's a really good live action Disney film from the 50s. And yeah, it sort of comes away with, you know, this sort of, you know, this obvious kind of like message about like life and whatnot. But I think it's really good. I sort of avoided it for the longest time because I knew how it ended. I feel like kind of everyone know how it ends. I mean, let's be real.
But yeah, just everybody does.
For the sake of anybody who doesn't know who's watching this, I'm not going to give it away, but yeah, you know. But when you eventually get to that, like, it's legitimately, like, it's heartbreaking when it happens. Like, but you also get this idea that, like, the characters really, you know, learned through the film, and by the end have this sort of appreciation for what they have. So, yeah, I really enjoy Old Yeller. So, yeah.
Nice. I don't know if I've seen it or not. I've seen Where the Red Fern Grows. That's the one I was thinking of. Similar tone, I imagine.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. It's a book as well, right?
I think so, yeah.
Is it?
I don't know. Let me look that up. It's kind of funny. This week, a friend of mine was telling me about this movie. They had also never seen it, but somebody else who knew like 30% of the story explained it to them. So then when she was explaining it to me, I was like very confused. But I think it's funny that it came up this week.
Yeah.
But I know nothing about this movie.
It's one of those that like everybody knows about, but I don't know if everybody's actually seen it.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Like, people talk about it, I don't know if all the time, but when you hear Old Yeller, you kind of know what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of jokes made about Old Yeller.
There are.
Yeah, but it's a Disney classic. I'd call it that. Yeah, I really like it.
Yeah.
And it also has a really nice sort of vibe to it, if that makes sense. I really like those movies that really set a good tone, that sort of a relaxing kind of atmosphere, you know. You can maybe see that from some other films that I've chosen, like Call Me By Your Name, The Red Turtle, Watership Down, you know, those sort of environmental films that really create a distinguished atmosphere. Yeah. And I would put Old Yeller in that list of like, they like, I can really like define the atmosphere, and it feels like you can like touch the grass, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If cool. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like a lot of the movies Disney did in this era, like Ugly Ducks and the Herbie movies. You know, they're all kind of nice and wholesome. And like you said, kind of a good vibe, I guess, you can have with them. All right. We'll move on to Hunters number three.
Uh-oh. We screwed up the order here, but that's okay.
Whoops.
Yeah, my number three was the other True Grit first.
Oh, no.
Actually, well, I take it back. This is fine. I actually think, kind of like what you had said earlier, Harrison, John Wayne is, like, such a good Rooster Cogburn. He's, like, because, like, the True Grit remake is very, like, gritty, which is good.
Well,
it's in the name.
Yeah. In the name.
It's a title of the movie.
But, like, I just like John Wayne's, like, playfulness. Even though he's still pretty angry Rooster Cogburn. But because, like, it's an older movie, he just feels like a stingy grandpa who, like, actually likes you. I feel like Jeff Bridges is a little less easy to like. I don't know. Like, they form, like, a bond in the movie, in both movies. The girl character, I don't remember her name. And
Maddie, I think.
And, like, I don't know. I feel like it's easier. It makes more sense for these two characters to kind of become friends and develop that lifelong friendship versus, like, the other True Grit, where, like, he's like an angry dad who literally never shows, like, any care or affection. And I feel like that's a hard dad to like. But in this one, he's, like, an angry dad, but he's also, like, kind of just a weird grandpa who you're like, all right, grandpa, let's go on an adventure. Come on now. And he makes some funny jokes. He's funny in this movie, too. I don't know. So.
Yeah. I like, I think I like the Ned Pepper character in this one a little bit more because it's played by, what's his name? He's in The Godfather. Not Michael Corleone, but the Thomas. I can't remember the actor's name. Shoot. But he's really good in that. He's also in To Kill a Mockingbird. He's in, I can't remember his name. But anyways, he's really awesome as Ned Pepper in this movie too. I think he's a good villain. Robert Duvall, yes, thank you.
Robert Duvall, yeah.
Oh, yes, we love Robert Duvall.
Yes, he's amazing as, I think he's Ned Pepper, but... At any rate, he's a great villain in this movie. But yeah, I personally don't like Glenn Campbell or the Maddie in this movie. I think they're a little bit more annoying. I think it's funnier with Matt Damon in the remake. He's kind of a wimp, even though he's a Texas Ranger, and that just makes it funnier, I guess.
Oh my gosh, you're totally right. Robert Duvall. Oh, that just unlocked the memory of watching this movie.
Very end, when Rooster's charging them, you know?
Yeah.
But
you're right. Also, LaBeef. So his name's LaBeef, right? The Glenn Campbell's character.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I like Matt Damon's LaBeef way more.
Yes.
But that's fine.
And I was always bothered with the costumes in this one because they always seemed like this is the costume you'd buy at like Party City. Like they didn't feel very authentic Western.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like Maddie's haircut too, like that felt like what a grandma would have back then, you know, like in the 60s, not in the 1800s. But yeah, it's a classic, I guess. I just really like John Wayne in it. That's really the only thing I like in it.
Yeah. I still think it's a worthwhile watch. I feel like people should watch it still. Sorry, Road Critic disagrees, but...
For sure. All right. Well, we're moving on to the number twos. And then since we're kind of a little early today, we can do kind of like a Q&A type of thing at the end if you guys have time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's do... And my number two is Tombstone. Yes. I went into depth with this a lot in the 1990s stream we did, so I won't go too much here, but... It's just so amazing. Like Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer, you know, Sam Elliott, Bill Paxton, they're all amazing together as the Earp brothers. And it's just such an amazing story. The actual, it's an actual event, you know, the shootout, the OK Corral, like, love that. I've been to the OK Corral, so that, I guess, like the Lordsburg thing, it's another reason why I like it. Yeah, it's just really amazing. I love their, love how connected the brothers are, and I love the camaraderie they have. And I also like the villains a lot, the cowboy gang. They're really good too. Stephen Lang, he's one of them. He's pretty hilarious. And I don't remember his name, but he's the guy who's like, well, bye. Like, that guy's funny too. One of my favorite gifts I use all the time. I'm like, bye. It's one of the best parts of the movie. And I think I told you this, Hunter, maybe not, but I guess our dad, he watched this movie the night before they got married. There's like a shootout at a wedding in the very beginning. Oh, no. So he's like, oh my gosh.
I know, that's funny.
It's hilarious, right? So I guess don't watch this the day before you get married. I don't know.
Is that guy also in Lonesome Dove? No.
Which guy?
The second guy on the left.
Oh, Sam Elliott?
Yeah, he's like a famous Western actor guy.
I think he is. I know he's in the new Yellowstone series. I haven't watched any of those, but he's also in Gettysburg. I liked him in Gettysburg.
Oh, Gettysburg.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I love this movie. You haven't seen it, right, Joe?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Yeah, you definitely need to check it out. It's probably one of the best Westerns ever, honestly.
Hmm. I've never seen it either.
You haven't seen Tombstone Hunter? Mm-hmm. Oh, you need to come down from school and come watch it with me. I have it.
Okay, deal.
It's really, really excellent. There's another point I was thinking of, but I can't remember. But for now, I'll just end with check it out if you haven't seen it. And then he agrees. Another good move. It really is. All right, Joe, you're number two. Kind of change of pace here.
Okay. Yeah, a bit of a tough one. So I consider Brokeback Mountain to be the anti-Western, you know? Like, its goal, you know, even though it has, you know, these sort of things that are the conventions of the Western, it's fundamentally, like, aims to challenge sort of the core ideals of what the Western is. Because what it really aims to do is to be an analytical deconstruction of how there's this association in Westerns with masculinity and getting the girl, and then this idea that, like, you know, the way that people have associated like falling in love with someone of the same gender and how that is automatically like demasculating, or it takes over, you know. And I think it really aims to sort of be critical of also those ideas as well. You know, we can acknowledge, of course, like there are really great stories that have been told with those conventions. But I think with Brokeback Mountain, they're aiming to be critical of the toxic ideas of masculinity and how that creates tragedy within individuals, within themselves, and with inner turmoil, with how the world has dictated they must be, but how they actually are, and how their feelings and emotions, like, just can't be contained because of how repressed they are, you know? Yeah, and I think it's a really beautiful story. I haven't seen that many of Ang Lee's films, but of his films that I have seen, this is probably my favorite, and should definitely see it. It's very beautiful, and the final scenes just hit you right in the feels. Yeah.
Yeah, I personally haven't seen it, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of like Unforgiven, where they kind of show the kind of realistic side of Westerns.
Yeah.
In that one especially.
Yeah.
So it's interesting kind of seeing the kind of anti-Western a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also haven't seen it. I just saw it was on Netflix, though.
It is on Netflix. So if you want to see it, now's the time.
Yeah, before it's gone, right? They're always taking stuff off, I swear.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ang Lee's one of those interesting directors. He's kind of like one of those like journeyman ones where he could just jump back and forth between genres. Like he did this movie, he did Life of Pi, he did, but then he also did like Mission Impossible 2. He also did all these action movies in the 80s. You know, it's like, it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting.
I might rewatch it again since it's on Netflix. So.
And it's got, is that Heath Ledger in it?
Yeah, Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal are just amazing in this film. And whenever you watch something with Heath Ledger in it, like he always just captivates you so much, and it makes you so sad that he was taken away from us too soon.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a very talented guy.
Yeah. Like, even though I haven't seen The Dark Knight yet, like, I would say this could probably rival his performance in The Dark Knight. Speaking as someone who hasn't seen The Dark Knight, but, like, I feel good saying that, honestly.
Yeah.
I bet it's probably up there. I'm sure, like, I'm sure they're up there together.
Mm-hmm. What's that, like, rom-com he's in?
Oh, 10 Things I Hate About You?
Yeah, that's the only other performance I've seen by him, and I low-key hate it. I thought it was
so really. Cool. I love that movie.
No, I thought it was so cheesy and dumb. I was like, "What is? What am I watching?"
Well, I guess wait till you get married. You might change your opinion on that.
The thing is, I've told my I'm not the biggest rom-com person, so when I told my friends that like I want to see that movie sometime, they were like, "Really?" Like they were shocked when I told them that, because they're like, "No, we know the exact scene that you'd be cringing, being like, this is unrealistic, this is stupid, blah 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 blah." They've tried to show me a rom-com, I've usually like tried to do something. Like that's usually like my response. I know they once had us watch A Night to Remember, and I wouldn't let us get 10 minutes past it. I was just sitting there going like, this is stupid. This is bad movie. Stop it.
Oh, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Hunter, you're number two.
Yeah. So it showed up on your list and my list a little bit ago. Now it's on here again. So now True Grit, the Coen Brothers remake, has made an appearance 4 times. But it's because it's really dang good. So the only thing I'll add was yesterday I went to an art exhibit for a painter who's known for his like Western style landscapes. His name's Maynard Dixon. And it makes me want to watch this movie. They're totally different. Like his color palette is really pastel, bright, very welcoming. True Grit's
definitely not that.
But it just got me in my Western feels, and this movie gets me in those Western feels as well. So, anyways, that's all I'll say about it, just so we don't have to talk about it more. But
sounds good. All right, guys, we're moving on to our number ones now. So my number one Western, get ready for it, is Blazing Saddles. Have you guys seen this movie?
I haven't, but I've heard.
Yeah.
Oh, it is so good. Oh my goodness. I don't know what to say, but I just love Mel Brooks. He's amazing at doing the kind of the spoof movie. Like he plays every single, you know, stereotype in every Western that there is to an 11. Like he cranks it up absolutely insane. just the storyline is nuts. The characters are crazy. Gene Wilder is amazing in this movie as, oh, what's his name? Like the Frisco Kid or something like that. I can't remember, but he's hilarious in this movie. A very more reserved character, though. Like, usually he's very loud and bombastic. So it's interesting seeing the a different side of him in this. I really like Harvey Korman as Hedley Lamarr instead of Hedy Lamarr. I thought that was hilarious. Because I guess Hedy Lamarr was a famous Western actress. So I thought that was hilarious that this grumpy old man was Hedley.
Hedley. Oh,
everyone kept getting his name wrong. And then there's like this little town that I can't remember his name, but the main character he's becoming the sheriff of. And everybody's last name is Johnson. Mm-hmm. So like there's a scene where it shows this wall and it says Bill Johnson, John Johnson, like all these Johnsons that are in town. Oh, it was so funny. And they kept saying Johnson, like looking at each other. Classic, classic movie. And I don't want to spoil it, so I won't get into that. But yeah, I highly recommend it, especially if you watch more Westerns to kind of see what they're poking fun of in it. Like Back to the Future 3 kind of respects it, you know, appreciates the Western. This one respects it, but like cranks it to 11, like makes it absolutely nuts and ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite comedies of all time too, I would say. Yeah, that's all I got. Yep. Got anything to say, Hunter?
Well, it's just a very Mel Brooks movie. Like he does not pull any punches, and I feel like that's kind of what gives it its character. because he's willing to go so ridiculously far and uncomfortable.
It's super.
Yes.
It's not PC at all.
I never noticed this, but like right there on the, that's Mel Brooks' character on the left, and he has,
yes,
he has like Hebrew written onto his.
I just noticed that too.
So, I don't know. I think anybody who hasn't seen it should just go in knowing that it's the most over-the-top comedy you'll probably ever see. And it's very okay with doing whatever it wants. And I feel like that's kind of a good thing in the sense that for the sake of comedy, they did whatever they wanted. But it can kind of be problematic as well, or it can kind of be a little bit dangerous, but I think it's funny. I like it, so.
Yeah. I just noticed, too, there's a microphone in front of the
There's a microphone, and there's an airplane in the bottom right corner.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is funny. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Oh, we got Dill on Movies here. What's up? Blazing Saddles is amazing. Yes, it is. So, yeah, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend checking it out. All right. So, Joe, you're number one.
Yeah. So, similarly to Brokeback Mountain, The Power of the Dog, in some ways, is like the anti-Western. You know, except this one, I feel like with Brokeback Mountain, they definitely address sort of toxic masculinity and how it's prevalent in, like, the thing is, with the ideas that are set up in Westerns, it creates this false sense of like what masculinity should be and the consequences of sort of internalizing those ideas. And Power of the Dog feels like it's definitely like an addition onto that. I think it's possibly more nuanced in The Power of the Dog. It's directed by Jane Campion, who did The Piano, I think, or The Pianist, or no, The Piano. And I haven't seen that one yet, but like from what I've heard from her, she like really delves in and tries to deconstruct and certain social and societal concepts that have been built, you know? And with The Power of the Dog, the thing is, when you watch it for the first time, you think you know what's going on, and you think you have, like, you're kind of trying to piece everything together, and you think you have an idea about the story when you first watch it. But then when you see it again, almost all of those interpretations go out the window and you completely see it in a new light. That was me when I saw The Power of the Dog a second time. It is kind of a slow burn, but it's definitely a great slow burn. And I think that it requires I think you can still get a lot from the movie if you watch it once, but I would highly recommend seeing it again just so that you can have just a total mind-altering, new way of seeing the film like I was able to have when I saw it again. Performances by everyone are great, although they're great in that they're not very, they're not entirely very showy very much of the time, but, you can, read into, you can really sense what the character is thinking just by looking at their eyes. It's a great film and definitely would recommend it. It probably would have been my vote for Best Picture last year, but, whatever. I don't run the Academy, but whatever.
Yeah, sometimes the choices they make are very questionable.
Well, Coda, which won Best Picture, that's actually a really great film as well that I do like a lot. But Power of the Dog, I feel like... it really challenges its viewer a lot more, you know? So, whatever.
It's a Netflix film, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm.
This is the first time.
Yeah. But I do remember a lot of people talking about it last year, saying how good it was. I need to see it.
And it's on Criterion. So.
Oh, it's on Criterion. Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. I think I remember them announcing that. Yeah. Cool, cool. All mm-hmm. right, Hunter, are you ready for your number one? All right.
Yeah, baby. I think this is a second appearance for Rango as well. Okay, well, I actually was struggling to remember what this movie was, but I remember liking it a lot. So in kind of researching my list a little bit, I started to remember what this movie is, and it's great. I saw an interesting point made about how it took kind of an overplayed genre of animation of kind of anthropomorphic characters that we've seen a ton of movies like that recently. And a Western genre, which is super, kind of super saturated. There's a lot of weird Westerns out there. And in bringing them together, kind of made something fresh. I don't know if it should be number one on the list, because these are Westerns, and it's kind of, well, but that's okay. It's fine. I'm going to leave it there. I stand behind it. Because when it talks about tropes of Westerns, it does so, playfully. It kind of teases at the whole genre instead of trying to really fit those core ideas. It kind of plays with them and makes fun of them. And from an animation standpoint, this is another point that I saw made that is super true, and I gives this movie so much character, but also makes it feel way more like a Western. Not a single character in this movie is attractive. They are all gross. They're not they're attractive in the sense that they're stylized and weird and kind of creepy looking, but it all works. You want that. It just feels so gritty Western. I don't know. So I love that. I honestly hadn't thought about it like that until kind of looking into this movie a little bit more, but that totally adds to that Western kind of dirty frontier feeling. So I like that.
I was just gonna say I really like this movie too. I like that the villain, he's a rattlesnake and his tail is a gun. I always thought that was really cool. And I also remember it's not like your typical children's animated film. It's a pretty serious and scary movie. People get shot, people die. It's not your average Disney movie, if you will. This one's Nickelodeon, I think, but no, yeah, I really liked it too.
I actually have not seen Rango in its entirety. I've seen the first 30 minutes twice, but I've never finished it. I know that sounds very weird, but I don't know. Like, but I've been meaning to watch it for a while because it's one of the only films that have won Best Animated Feature at the Oscars that I have not seen yet. So
I think you would really like it. It's definitely not your, like I said, not your traditional animated film. It's very unique and different from the others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Surrealism, Johnny Depp, explosions and action.
Yes.
Wild snakes with gun tails. Yeah.
Cool. It's like super dry too. Like they're going through a drought.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's dying. Yes. Got Dylan movies here. I need to rewatch Power of the Dog. Yes. All right. Well, that's our list, guys. So overall, what's your guys' opinion on Western genre in general?
Well, as stated earlier, I haven't really seen many Westerns, so it's hard for me to like have an opinion on them, I think. But it's a genre that I've definitely been meaning to get into more. I think that like a lot of them have piqued my interest a lot, and a lot of them are like considered some of the greatest films of all time. So I should probably get onto them at some point. But I know that with some of the ones that I have seen, like The Power of the Dog, Brokeback Mountain, and Old Yeller, that are like really great, it's like, oh, okay, I should probably see more from this. So,
yeah. All right. What about you, Hunter?
Yeah. So I'm like drawn to the Western aesthetic and feel. I still haven't seen a ton of Western movies as well, but trying to expose myself a little bit more kind of to the older, more classic Western, but also trying to find something more modern that feels fresh and feels pretty good. Cause I remember a Western I have seen is like Magnificent Seven, but honestly, like the modern one, sorry, the remake.
Hmm.
I don't remember anything from that movie. Like it really wasn't groundbreaking or breathtaking or anything. It had Chris Pratt, which was nice, but so I don't know, but there's gotta be modern Westerns that are exciting in your opinion. Gotta find it. Also, just really quick, the artist Mobius, he's like an illustrator from like the 80s or something like that. If you look up Mobius and then you look up Mobius and his like Western drawings and artwork, I want that as a movie really bad. It's like pretty generic, but it's got Mobius flair. And that's what I'm looking for anyways.
Nice. I hear, like, speaking of modern ones, like 310 to Yuma, I hear is pretty good. The remake. And it's about all I could think of, too. But yeah, like you guys, I haven't seen too many Westerns. It was actually pretty hard to make the list I had because I've only seen like 10 or 15. So I was like, I don't know if I could really fairly assess it. So I definitely want to see more. And hopefully in the future, my opinion and I guess my understanding of Westerns will change too. Yeah. We got Evan's list here. Read from 5-1. Assassination of Jesse James by a Coward Robert Redford. Or not Robert Redford, Robert Ford. I've heard of that one. I think that's with Brad Pitt. Number 4, Darling Clementine. I think that's a John Wayne. Number 3, Good, Bad, the Ugly. Nice. 2, Red River. Number 1, Once Upon a Time in the West. Got a great list there, Evan. Got more bots. Block. And we got Dale here saying, even though it won an Oscar, Rango is underappreciated. I agree with that. You don't hear about it talked about too much. Well, gonna block another user. Gee. A lot of bots today, guys. All right. Well, that's kind of our show today, guys. I really want to study more about Westerns. And I'm excited to continue on with this kind of genre series we're doing this year. Hopefully I watch more movies, and hopefully we kind of watch more movies too within these respected genres. But before we sign off, do you guys have anything you want to plug or anything like that?
You can find me on YouTube at The Awkward Actor. I don't really post anything, but if you want to follow me, great. You can find me on Instagram at @a_chaotic_mortal, where I guess I'm more active.
Nice. All right. How about you, Hunter?
I got nothing to plug. I'm just living life. I'm in college now.
Nice. Well, keep watching those movies. Hunter's got a really big library of movies that his school has, so he keeps sending me pictures. Looks pretty cool.
I'm excited. For this weekend, I rented Metropolis, The African Queen, and The Passion of Joan of Arc.
Oh, so I'm excited. That's such a great film. Passion of Joan of Arc is great. Also, Metropolis is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm excited. Anyways.
Yes. Oh, next month, I should announce that, we're going to be doing our top five comedies. So I think that one will be interesting because I think we've all seen more comedies than Westerns. But I'm looking forward to that. And like I said, we'll be starting at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time from now on, starting next month.
It would be really funny if your like favorite Western was your favorite comedy.
I know, right?
I'm feeling...
Right.
Wouldn't be surprised if he shows up on his list.
Yeah. No, I decided to go with another one, but it was between two Mel Brooks movies.
Okay. I think I know what the other one is.
Probably. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But
you never know.
Yeah, you never know. He's got a lot of good movies. Yep, but thank you guys so much for coming on today. Like I said, we'll see you all next month. Hopefully on the third Saturday, depending on our schedules. And shout out to Adrian of Terna Cinema. He couldn't be here today. He's super busy with work and whatnot, but he's always welcome to come back when he's not super busy. And we got one more question here. Not question, comment. Modern Westerns you might like, Hell or High Water. No Country for Old Men. That is a good one. I do agree with that. The harder they fall.
I want to see all of those movies.
Got a snap pick. All right. On the list. It will be on the list.
Yes. And thanks to everyone for commenting as well. If you're not following, make sure to follow myself. And there's links in the description to everyone else's stuff. And this has been Really Old Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin. These are my co-hosts. Let's start off with
Joe, the awkward actor.
An Hunter.
Yeah. It's a good movie. All right. Take care, everyone.